We again come to you with brief suggestions to you concerning what is a real New Testament disciple of Jesus Christ. We've been following this through that a real disciple is one who has real affection for the person of Christ and is obedient to the word of Christ. And we're taking up the fact of evidences of a real disciple. Now, may I say, not the evidences of a real Christian, for a person can be a real Christian and not a disciple. But a person cannot be a real disciple of Christ without, first of all, having right relationship with him and being saved. So the question I'm raising is, are we Christians real followers, real disciples of the Savior, Jesus Christ? And I give you a definition of what a disciple is. It's one who has real affection for the Savior and is obedient to his word. And we were dealing in our last lesson with some of the evidences of being a real disciple. And of course, the first one was, a real disciple is one who's obedient to his word. And I was in the book of Matthew chapter 8, and I took up the fact that there was one man who was a scribe, and he was hindered from being a real disciple because of the pull of the world. And the second man was hindered from being a real disciple because of the pull of the flesh, fleshly relationships. And then the disciples followed Jesus, they obeyed him and they followed him, and he led them into a storm. And it was in the storm they got to know the Savior, as they cried out, "What manner of man is this? The very winds and the waves obey him." You see, friend, it's an amazing thing that's in the trials and afflictions of life that we get to know the Savior. And by the way, our measure of love for him is our obedience to his word. Do you remember you find that in John chapter 14, verses 21 and 23, and even the very last verse of that chapter, 31, where Jesus said, "That the world may know that I love the Father, whatever he wants me to do, that's exactly what I'm going to do." You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, but I do love the Lord." All right, manifest that love for the Lord by being obedient to his word. It's a wonderful thing to be obedient to the Savior. You know, in dealing with a great many young people, sometimes they'll say to me, "But Mr. Mitchell, I do love the Lord." Well, I'm not questioning that. I'm just not questioning that. As one girl said, "You don't even believe I'm saved." Well, I said, "I don't know whether you are or not. I take your word for it. I don't know a thing about you. Are you really saved?" "Yes, I am." "You really love the Lord?" "Yes, I am." Well, I said, let's test your love. Let's measure your love. She said, "Go and measure your own." I said, "Okay, I'll measure my own. Sit down." So we sat down, opened the Bible to John 14. If a man love me, he will keep my word. And I talked about obedience being the measure of our love. And you know, the dear sweet girl, she broke down. She said, "Well, I do love him." Well, bless your heart, I'm not questioning that one little bit. And by the way, that girl became a real testimony for the Lord. It caused her to realize it was her relationship to the Savior and her love for the Savior that made her a real disciple of the Lord Jesus. You see, in spite of storms and afflictions of life, we really get to know the Savior. And I'm going to repeat this again. The tests and afflictions through which a believer goes through, can I put it this way? It gives God the opportunity of manifesting his power and his care for us. When you and I are in trouble, it's an open door for God to display his love, his power, and his grace, and his affection to his people. Do you remember our Lord suffered? Take Hebrews chapter 12, the second verse, where it says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, and was set down at the right hand of God." The great driving force of our Savior were his love for his Father, his submission to the will of his Father. His love for his Father was manifested by his submission to his Father's will and by being obedient to his word. You have this same thing in the Epistle of John chapter 2 for us. The evidence of a Christian being in fellowship with God is his submission to the will of God, his obedience to the word of God, and his loving for the brethren, the people of God. See, this is the way it goes. So I could ask you, what is the great purpose of your life as a Christian? The ultimate purpose, the very first purpose of your life should be to manifest your love for the Savior by your obedience to his word, by your submission to his will. Now let's go to another passage, and I'm going to go now to John's Gospel chapter 8. John's Gospel chapter 8. And here we have the second evidence of one who is a real disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, a person can be a real believer and not a disciple. I'm talking about being a New Testament disciple. Let me read to you from John's Gospel chapter 8. Starting at verse 31, our Lord had been teaching the people about him being the light of the world. You remember that amazing passage, he was the light of the world. If a man follows me, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And he ends up his passage there by talking about the fact that he did always the things that pleased the Father. Then I read in verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Now notice the next two verses. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you abide, if you stay in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And they go on to say, well, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. What do you mean, you shall be made free? And the Lord's answer was, very, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now look at verse 31 and 32, this statement. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Here is a great condition of being a disciple, or should I say, a characteristic, an evidence of being a real disciple of the Savior, is to abide in his word, to stay in the word of God. This is where he has revealed himself. This is where he manifests his desire for us. And I confess it calls for discipline. Now, if obedience to the word of God is a sign, an evidence of my love for him, how can I know what he wants me to do if I don't read his word? You know, people talk about being obedient to the Savior, but they don't know what he wants them to do. And if I want to know what the Lord Jesus wants me to do, I've got to go to the place where he's already given me the instructions. And that's in the word of God. If I were to go to the epistle of Paul to the Corinthian church, chapters 2 and 3, where Paul breaks down the human race into three groups. You have the man of the world, the unsaved man, who rejects the word of God. You have the carnal Christian who neglects the word of God. Then you've got the spiritual Christian who feeds on the word of God. Can I repeat that? The unsaved man, the unregenerate man, rejects the word of God. What I'm giving to you is the fact that we declare what we are by our attitude to the word of God. I'm pressing this because I'm living in a generation even of so-called professing Christians who are rejecting the word of God. And the unsaved man rejects the word of God. The carnal Christian is the one who neglects it. He doesn't feed on it. He doesn't live in it. Hence, he's carnal. He lives like the man of the street, the man of the world. You see very little difference between him and the unsaved man in his life. And then you have the spiritual man. As Paul says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is not judged of anybody. So you have here the spiritual man who feeds on the word of God. What do you do? What do you do? It's folly for me to talk about experiences It's folly for me to talk about being a real Christian and a real disciple of the Savior, and I don't know the Word of God. How can I be obedient if I don't stay in the Word of God? Now, it also says, if you abide in my Word, two things will happen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, this is not a mental knowledge of the Word of God. It's not so much a mental assent to truth. It's the truth getting a hold of you, the truth gripping you, the truth living in you. Listen, allow me to quote some verses to you, and you Christians know what they are. At least you memorize them, but for some reason hasn't got a hold of you. You remember Jesus said in John 15:3, you're clean, you're cleansed through the word which I have spoken unto you. But if I don't know his word, how can it be a moral cleanser? This is the trouble today with God's people. Now, I'm not sitting as a judge. I'm sitting as one whose heart is greatly troubled, and I'm greatly burdened about this. I have the occasion to travel quite a bit in the ministry of the Word of God and meet Christians all over the country. And the thing that disturbs me is that the great majority of God's people are not getting into the Word of God. Are you? Why are Christian families being broken up? Because they're neglecting the very instrument God has given to us to keep us together. Just in the last few weeks, here I am faced with Christian families in trouble. Some of them are breaking up. I ask the question, did you get together on the Word of God? Did you read the Word of God together each day? Well, no, we haven't been doing that for a long, long time. This is your secret of your trouble. Friend, listen, let me be very blunt about it. If a husband and a wife and a family each day together, if it's only a portion of the Word of God, and when you read it, remember, it's God talking to you. I'll guarantee to you, you'll keep short accounts with God, and you'll keep short accounts with each other. Listen to what he says. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I don't know what your problem is, but I know one thing. The psalmist says in 119th Psalm, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way but by taking heed according to your word? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Take Ephesians 5:26, that he might cleanse the church by the washing of water, by the word. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. I was saying a while ago, the thing that distresses me, taking it as a whole, it's a small percentage of God's people who are really getting into the Word of God. How can I know the truth if I don't get into it? How can I know the liberating power of the Word of God if I don't get into it? So many Christians' lives are being, being robbed of spiritual power and spiritual joy. Something in your life that's eating away your spiritual life, your spiritual power, breaking your fellowship with God. It's not some great sin. You wouldn't go out and get drunk or do all some of the outbroken sins of society. It's these things in between, these little things. As the Song of Solomon said, it's the small foxes that spoil the vines. Get in there and eat away. Eat just like a cancer in there. Just eats away in your life. Robs you of spiritual power. Robs you of spiritual joy. How can I get rid of these sinful habits? If you stay in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is robbing you of your spiritual life and power? Whatever it is, you can get rid of it. You can know the power of God in your life by staying in the Word of God. But you say, Dr. Mitchell, I read the Word of God, I get so little out of it. I don't understand it. Friend, I don't care how much schooling you've had. You don't have to be a scholar to know the Word of God. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew to know the Word of God. The Spirit of God will make it real to you just what you need. Now, I'm not underestimating the joy and the blessing of having these language studies to get into the philological word, a portion of a word, and find out the exact meaning. That's wonderful. But your context will give to you what the Spirit of God wants to give you. Remember, the Bible was made for the common people. It's written in the Koine Greek. That's the language of the common people, the language of the people on the streets. God wants you, and I don't care who you are, He wants you to know the truth. And don't rationalize your condition by saying, well, I don't understand it. Read it. Read it. Reread it. Reread it. And the Spirit of God will do something in your life that nothing else will do. I want to challenge you Christians on this. I challenge you to get onto the Word of God and read it to see Christ. And you'll know the truth, and the truth shall emancipate you. Oh, when I find the bondage in which so many Christians find themselves. They've lost all their joy, lost their peace, and some are full of fear. I'm not surprised at that. I'm not surprised at that. If I were to neglect the Word of God, even though I know some of it, at least I know some of it, but if I were to neglect the Word of God, my friend, I would do just what you're doing, possibly. I'd be failing God. And little things in my life would take the place of that Christ should have. Things would come in. People would come in. Affections for others would come in. Christ would no longer be on the throne of my affection and devotion. Continue in my word, said Jesus, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Now, I want to say this realistically. I have seen people who have been under the power of drugs, under the power of alcohol. I've seen alcoholics being delivered immediately by the power of the Word of God. In fact, if I'm dealing with them, I generally point them not to go and get some experience. I point them to the Word of God and look for Christ. And when that heart is in occupation with Christ, and the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and makes it a living reality in their lives. You see, the Word of God is the tool that God has given to us. I wouldn't want any experience that you call spiritual if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. The Word of God is the final authority. And the Spirit of God has come to lead us and to guide us into truth. And friend, I say very bluntly, you can't live a consistent Christian life apart from the Word of God. I'll be dogmatic when I say you cannot be a real disciple of Jesus Christ apart from the Word of God. Oh, I just plead with your heart, Christian friend, to get down into the Word of God. Even if you don't understand it, keep on reading it. It'll do something in your life that you'll not know. I was talking to a student just yesterday, and he was asking a lot of questions, and I said, listen, a baby is born into the world, and you feed it milk, and then you go through various stages of growth. Now, the child doesn't know it's growing. One day, it finds its toes moving, and it reaches out and touches its toes. Later on, it tries to walk. It doesn't realize it's growing. People outside see the growth in the child, but the child itself is not cognizant of growth. When you feed on the Word of God, you may not know you're growing. Others will see it. Others will see it. So Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Friend, I'll leave that with you today. Are you a real disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, having real affection for Him? And are you willing to be obedient to His Word? And remember, it'll bring real joy, real power, real blessing into your life. It'll bring you into a place of deliverance. Of deliverance. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Oh, how many Christians have been set free from bondage, from fear, just by the Word of God. Oh, I plead with your heart to stay in the Word of God. Take your family round you and read to them the Word of God, and the Lord bless you.